Hello and welcome to another episode of the +63 HP Podcast Reviews Edition. I am one of your hosts, John Clemente. Alongside with me are two of my bestest best friend. I'm gonna start with the man in the middle, Chubax. How are you doing?
What's up? Yes, I'm Chubax. Welcome back and happy to be here. I'm doing good. A little tired, but it is what it is.
Yeah, we're always tired the weekend, but always fun to hang out with friends, including our man from the West Coast waking up at an ungodly hour to hang out with us. Arnie, how are you doing?
Hello there. Good morning. Yeah, it's really early here.
Early on a weekend, but still making content for you guys and hanging out together. If this is your first time here, welcome. Thank you very much for the view. This is the +63 HP podcast, stable of podcasts, where we have on Mondays and Tuesdays reviews and deep dives of current movies and series that you can watch either in the theaters or on streaming platforms. On Wednesdays, we drop our very, very first D&D campaign. A couple of 40-year-old guys and a lady. We do our very first campaign, recorded for posterity, uploaded into YouTube for you guys as entertainment. On Thursdays, we have a curated list of trailers, features, videos, clips, all of the upcoming content that we will react to and see whether how hyped we are for that particular content. And on Fridays, Chubax and our other bestest best friend, RJ, can't get enough of D&D. So they decided to run a second campaign where they are bad guys. So those occasionally drop on Fridays. So most of the week, after our little bit of hiatus, you'll get fresh new content that you can enjoy with us. So hang out with me and my bros. You can follow us on youtube.com/+63HP. Or if you want to join our recording live, we record on weekends morning. So anywhere between 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Eastern. So that's 10:30 p.m. to 12:30 p.m. Philippine time. You can log on to twitch.tv/+63HP and watch us, watch how the sausage is made, how we hang out, how we record our podcast. So basically just chill with me and my bros. With that housekeeping done, in this episode, I am very excited to discuss the recently finished first season of Percy Jackson and the Olympians on Disney Plus. So before we get into our, let's get into our initial reactions, non-spoilery stuff, but with the added level on how are we familiar with the material? So like for me, I have never seen the Percy Jackson movies with Alexander Daddario. I haven't up until I saw the series, right? Never seen the movies. I know we discussed Edith Hamilton's Greek mythology in high school a little bit. I never paid attention, which is weird. I have no idea about these gods. The most that I know about the gods are from God of War, which is already a little bit of a different rendition to what is in the book. So I've never read the books by Rick Riordan. So coming into the series, I'm like, virginal, wide open. I still have questions, which I'm going to ask you guys, and which I've been listening to other podcasts, like shout out to The Ringer, to The Ringerverse. I'm listening to Mallory Rubin and Joanna Robinson discuss this episode by episode. And then the last two episodes, they have a deep dive on the finale, but also they had an interview with the writer. So I've had a little bit more additional. I'm not done with the episodes yet, but I had no idea. Like, I had a vague idea that the Titans, which is the Kronos level,
Kronos Gaia,
toppled by the gods, which is the Zeus level, and then they fuck all the time, so they have demigods that kind of like do their dirty work,
and they have gods also. They also have children from the gods.
They have children from the gods, so it's just. It's I need to do like a deep dive on it. So that being said, I still truly enjoy the series. I am now even more a big fan of Walter Scobell, right? Mini Ryan Reynolds, Percy himself. He's just, he's a great actor. So he's very engaging.
What I liked is they didn't try to make him look pretty all the time. Like when his hair was wet, he looked, it didn't look nice, but they stuck with it. And he's a pretty good actor, actually.
He's a really good actor. I was already impressed with the effects of the entire series, and then I was even a bigger fan when I was listening to the reviews and how many things that they cut from the books to save on CG, because this is the first season, and usually the first season is like, we'll give you money, but not a lot of money. So a lot of people are very looking forward to the second season, having that, you know, they might have a bigger VFX budget. They're not gonna cut a few fights. I heard there was a boar somewhere that wasn't here. But I'm also kind of like, in, you know, I know Arnie has seen the movie, so I'm interested.
I've seen the movie,
like,
so what, I've read the books.
Are the glaring differences with the movie? Because like, I saw the first seven episodes while waiting for the eighth episode. I saw the first movie.
Okay.
And then I saw the last episode, and then I was like, holy shit, there's a lot of things missing. Here's like, what had happened? So I'm excited to discuss that. But overall, this was a fun series. It was deep, well acted, really good effects. The mom was great. Fucking so, Grover, I loved. I wish there were bigger names on the god level. Like, I wish the dad. Well,
the movie did that.
Yeah. So I wish even at least just Poseidon was a little bit more recognizable, right? Because Zeus,
I knew him. From he's the bad guy from the last Pierce Brosnan Bond, or not the last, the one with Halle Berry, was it Halle Berry? Huh. Yeah, the one with the ice thing.
Not recognize him.
Remember the fencing scene with Madonna?
Madonna?
Yeah, she was like, no, she. James Bond was in a fencing scene with the bad guy, and Madonna was like the extra.
I vaguely remember. Right. Yes.
This is the first big movie of our crush from the mom in Saltburn, from Wheel of Time. The blonde.
Rosamund Pike.
Yeah, Rosamund Pike. She was one of the Bond girls that turned out to be a bad guy. And she was working for him. That's where I know that's where I knew Poseidon.
Okay. I just like, you know, in the movies, we immediately knew everyone. Even like Poseidon in the movies was kind of like iffy before. I remember like, oh, Grey's Anatomy guy. But in the end, that's the only main complaint. And then maybe the very, very small complaint that I have was, I personally think Annabeth was a little weak on the acting end. Like, she needed to be the strategic expert, but sometimes she lost me a little bit towards the end. Like, I really, really loved Annabeth.
Yeah.
But you know, Grover, Annabeth, Luke, fucking, you know, even the dude, if you get Jason Mudzoukas just being Jason Mudzoukas, but even more godly annoying, I'm a big fan. So, non-spoilery, I think this is a wonderful series to watch as a family with your kids, to introduce you to kind of like weird family dynamics, things happening in school/camp, like all the, you know, it's being different, being bullied, being like dealing with your emotions, etc., etc. There are a few things that I'll discuss later or want to touch on a little bit more about the, you know, there are certain things that the movie, or maybe very, very few, maybe like one point that the movie was very, very explicit about Percy's talents that was kind of silent in the series, like explaining like all of the, in the movies, they were really good. Like all the things that made you, that makes you weird, like your ADHD or X, you know, all of the things that you struggle with, those are symptoms of your strength because you are, you know, demigod. In the series, it was just because maybe there's too much time. They're just like, they let it happen silently, like you know, you're kicked out a lot, you're impetuous, they didn't really say you're impetuous because XYZ, so maybe that's the only thing, because like when I saw the movie,
explained
it, like Well, also just like the idea of like
they thought you were ADHD, but your mind's just running faster than normal.
Running faster, those are your reflexes. But I'm looking at it's like you, dude, you don't even know you're a god, and then you have defeated so many people in the first 3 days in camp. Right? So that's what the fuck. I mean, so
they're all demigods, but he's just a step above.
Yeah, he's like he has a predisposition to those kinds of things. So if that would have been cleared, that would be nice. But yeah, so Arnie, how about you? Initial reactions to Percy Jackson and the
Olympics. And what's your background?
Well, I watched the movie, and I mean, I know more, a little bit more of Greek mythology. Greek mythology. Greek. Yeah, but I haven't read the books. But I mirror your sentiments about this series, and I really think it's now becoming more and more my opinion that a series is much better than a movie because they have the time to let things cook, expand on some things, tie up more loose ends. At one point I really thought that the Medusa in the series was Alexander Daddario, but it's not.
No, it's the girl from Shazam.
Recognizable girl.
The youngest one when she transforms to her Shazam counterpart. It's that girl.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
The one
Jessica
in purple.
Parker
I think.
Kennedy is her name.
Jessica
she's
Kennedy.
Isn't she in Flash?
Yeah, no? I think she's the daughter.
The daughter of
Nora
Flash.
West?
Yeah, Nora West. I think that's her.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Cool. Even better then. The kid was very relatable. The mom was, I have a little crush on the mom.
The mom was awesome.
Yeah, and she's really good too. Grover was also relatable, and I agree with the Annabeth thing because for me, seeing the movie first, it's really hard to, when you're comparing with Alexander Daddario, it's just more of, well, it's Alexander Daddario. Those eyes are really unique, right? But yeah, it's really well made, and in some episodes, my son was actually sitting with me watching it. He has no idea what's happening, but at least he's not bored about it. So, because he's seeing kids, like maybe not as old as him, but like a lot older, but he still understands that these are kids in the, on the screen doing stuff. So it was fun. Yeah, having him sit. Some of the episodes, and then of course a little bit of spoiler, like seeing Lin-Manuel, like, oh, okay, I buy him as a god, so there's
great
that
too. Hermes, I like him as
a so
I'm wrong, so, pala, the girl from Shazam is different. Megan Good
oh, okay, different. Okay. Oh, okay. I think in the movie was Poseidon, Sean Bean. Right?
No, or... she was
no,
Zeus.
Sean
Bean was Zeus. Well, Lance Reddick was also good.
Oh, but I like Lance Reddick more.
That's why I figured I wish they had somebody more recognizable as Poseidon because it's Lance Reddick.
Yeah. But it's a good mixture of of characters, and I think most are well represented. Without being forced, that's not being, nobody was stunt casted. Nobody was like a token blank, right? It all made sense for the most part, So there's that too.
Chewbacca?
Yeah.
I really liked it. I was surprised because I was kind of tired of, not really tired, but I was one of those, like, what's the point, We had the movies that didn't do well, then they're trying again. And I'm just more tired of the two guys, one girl trope party. Like,
that's one of, so in the Ringerverse, they have an episode dedicated to tropes. And then that's what they wanted to discuss. I paused there because I wanted to discuss with you guys too, where two guys, one girl, the trio trope, the either initially romantic interest, but they're going to just be sisters and best friends, or they're going to be romantic interest in the future. Like, you know, it's the same for everything. And then people don't, or at least why do writers keep on writing that trope?
Can we
That's
have
kind
one
of
guy,
like,
two girls? Can we have one guy, three girls, or two guys, three girls? Why always have to be the three with
it's
the
always a triad, and there's always in the triad, there's the level-headed one, there's the comic relief, and then there is the one
Part.
that is the, you know, the Percy, right?
Yeah,
The impetuous one.
something about the number three. I mean, you have three sisters of Dathomir. I mean,
But yeah,
charmed.
I didn't I watched the series with Bella, so we really liked it. We had fun, and I don't know. We hope let's hope they get all to make all the series. And I'm gonna do a spoiler because I don't think this I'm I don't think they're gonna get to this part. But what really surprised me with the series in the books is, so we have like five books, right? Around five books
Oh,
for
there's
Percy
five. I was gonna ask
Jackson.
how many books there are.
I think
Should I
there's
read them?
five in the major books, and then by at the end of that, we what we don't know. So this is spoiler stuff for anybody who wants to read or to stay away. But there's another five books going parallel with that, and it's the son of the Roman gods, and it's like the same world, and it's like and then at the end of that, there's another prophecy that combines them both. So that like the other main series after that is them like they switched. Like I think Percy went to the other side,
Greek
Jason went to the other side, and then they have
and what's the name of the
to
other series?
Roman.
I forgot. Let me figure it out.
Greek and Roman,
Yeah, so it was cool. It was like their
It's
training
kind
is
of like,
more militaristic, the Romans. Their
well,
camp is more like a boot camp, more like on that side. So that's
because it's more Jupiter. And God of War is Mars. Well, hopefully Disney Plus made, got enough views for this series for them to get the
No,
whole
they
five.
definitely, it was a critically acclaimed series. It's also very, very well watched. It's one of the more popular series in Disney Plus. So they are very confident that they're gonna have the commensurate budget that they need in season two. Because again, I did not realize that one of the main things that they were saying in season one was, or at least the showrunners and the writers were, they had to cut a lot of things. A lot of things. They, you know, even just moving the beach house from, it's supposed to be beach in Santa Monica, not in the East Coast in Montauk, but you know, for practical reasons, like you can't just keep on teleporting this dude coast to coast, right? So story-wise, it makes a little bit more sense. It's a little bit more dramatic, but also they didn't have to have bi-coastal shoots or at least a different set, right? So it's like it's all in, well, at least these ones were all in Vancouver, I think, shot.
Plus,
So
it's good for Disney Plus to have something other than Marvel or Star
yep,
Wars that,
exactly.
and have their own property. And
Okay.
they could put something in Disneyland too. I mean, hey, this would be an actual potential theme in Disneyland if they want to put something else in there, right?
Oh, it
Like,
is.
I want to be in
So
Camp
yeah,
Half-Blood,
I'm a mistake. The next, so the first book for five books, the Percy Jackson series, and the next five is major integrated now. I think the like book one of the Heroes of Olympus starts with Jason now. So again, it's three. It's
Oh,
Jason,
Jason
Piper, and
Arkonauts.
Leo. Jason, P Piper, and Leo. And then within the like next two books, they integrate now. And then by the last of the book, they're all together now. So, but it's cool because it's like
Yeah, because Percy is Perseus, and then Jason Argonauts, or
when they met. Like I don't know which book that they met, like after the main fight of Percy Jackson in book five, and then, oh yeah, where were you when we did this? Like Percy, and then Jason was like, you asked while you were doing that, we were here doing this. Like you were fighting something else, like but it's connected. It's like, oh, that makes sense. So
So
why don't you
that's
think
good. It's, it, So it's supposed to be what Love and Thunder was supposed to be. Like all the gods are combined.
Yeah, a little like that.
Yeah,
But yeah, we have the three trio again.
it's a more PG version of
Yeah.
Love and Thunder.
God
Or
of War.
God of War. God of War, or I forgot if American Gods is combined as well, but not sure. But okay. All right. Let's dive in. I
Let's
mean,
dive in. I'm just gonna run through the episode list and what I remember of it, and we'll just jump in our question. But 8 episodes. The series actually launched on December 19th of 2023 and ended the last week of January. So it's all out, 8 episodes, 1 season. It was again created by Rick Riordan and created for TV by Jonathan Steinberg. Based off the book Percy Jackson and the Olympians, 5 books, as you mentioned, stars Walter Scobell of what's that? Adam,
Adam,
right? Project Adam
Project Adam.
fame, with Ryan Reynolds.
Oh,
Ryan Reynolds. He got discovered. He got viral because he was like a 6, 7 year old kid reciting the monologue
Deadpool.
of Deadpool 2 from memory, perfectly, cuss words and all.
The young Percy Jackson was actually good too. Unless I was CGI of him. Was that
Yeah, I thought it was
CGI?
like the I thought they de-aged
Did they
him
age
like.
him? Because that kid looked really acted really
Oh
well
wait,
too.
I thought it was de-aged.
I don't let's see. I don't know. I didn't see. Was it de-aged? Would they spend money on the aging?
I mean, it looked so de it, it looks so much like him.
Yeah, or maybe they probably hired him earlier to shot some scenes.
But while you're checking that, the other main stars, of course, the three main stars will be Leah Sava Jeffries. She's on Rel. Not too familiar with that show. And Grover is played by Aryan Samardi. Also, fairly new. These are kid actors, so their Wikipedias and their IMDBs aren't that great. So, lots of really, really cool cameos, including Lin-Manuel as Hermes,
Hermes.
including what's the name of Zeus? Lance Reddick as
Lance Reddick.
Zeus. Toby Stevens is the one playing Poseidon, and I keep remembering him again as like, he's been in places, but I really, really couldn't like place him. There's other stuff here, like Jay Duplass is Hades, which is pretty cool because of the Duplass brothers. So that was cool.
So
And of course
I got
my
it. It's
favorite.
Asriel Dalman who plays young Percy.
Oh
So
wow,
it's
so
not
they
a
really
de-aged.
got
Yeah. I
wow,
knew they
they
weren't gonna
really.
spend much. I still think as much as I love Lin-Manuel, I still like the cameo for the movie more for Hermes. It was
Remind me again.
Nathan Fillion
Oh, Nathan
as
Fillion in
Hermes.
Lotus, yeah.
Okay.
And he was like a FedEx guy, he brought him to the office, and he was like literally head of the post office or something. It was funny.
Yeah, everything was just cool. Again, Chiron in the movies is played by Pierce Brosnan, but here it's what's his name? Manoj Sood, right? Really cool cast. A good combination of like relatively unknowns and really, really big people so that you can really pull in the audience. But essentially we follow Percy at his school. We get a lot of exposition about as a kid, he wanders, he's impetuous, he sees a lot of things. And what I love in the first few episodes is the indictment on the education system, but not in such a super bad way. It's just that the school itself is kicking out Percy because they know they can't handle a person with these special problems or their special gifts, which is not only seeing things but acting on seeing things. Because yeah, if there's a kid that thinks that they saw a flying horse and went up to the roof and jumped off the roof to ride the flying horse, I would be very, very concerned too, right? Yeah. So I love the idea, the hair, that you see a fairly practical, assholeish, but very practical reasons on showing how difficult it is to provide education to anybody with special needs. So in Percy's case, a lot of it is mental. I also like the idea that he starts becoming like he's the one that understands that he's the problem. And that's another main theme across this this series, is that if whenever you're a problem, not only do you have to deal with the problem, but you have to apologize for the problem in the future. So he was the one that's saying that, I am, there's something wrong with my brain. I need to calm down, et cetera, et cetera. So, but in the first episode, in one of their field trips, Percy's second grade teacher or English teacher turns into something else and attacks him, and he kind of was able to protect himself with that. And then this is what kind of like starts his awakening, where his best friend Grover now kind of urges him to like leave, go back home. Grover talks to the mom about something, saying like they have to leave, et cetera, et cetera. And they do. So the summary of it here is like Grover has his mom has always known that Percy has special gifts. That's why she powers through all of the problems. Grover Grover is his protector and best friend. And then Grover used so in this episode, the bully of Percy Jackson got pushed to the fountain, and then Percy was being accused of pushing the person, which didn't. Grover
He
said he didn't touch her.
Yes, he didn't touch her, but he still pushed her. Pushed her, I mean.
Yeah, so, but Grover used that as an opportunity to get Percy kicked out and away from school, knowing that
these... Dick move, though. Dick move.
Yeah, I understand the move, but
could have given him a heads up.
A little heads up. So, and the good thing here is, I like the series, because they say it's like, maybe I should have told Percy sooner, maybe I should have told Sally sooner, so that they could have left earlier and they could have avoided all of this. But the idea of it is that Grover figured out that Percy's growing older as a demigod. There's a target behind on his back, and then people are starting to hunt him, and then they have to leave to camp. On the way to camp, a minotaur stood in their way. Long story short, Sally kind of used herself to delay the minotaur, knowing that she can't enter the camp because she doesn't have god blood. And in ensuing action shows that Sally gets quote unquote killed by the minotaur. So this is one of the weaker parts of me as well, both in the movies and in the series. Like, one, Percy, if you're going to protect your mom before she dies, not after she dies. That's one thing. And then the other reason too is like, yeah, after mom dies, Percy was already in the protection of the camp. He went in and fought the Minotaur. I'm sure there's some Greek god myth of like the only way that you can kill a Minotaur is with its own horns, et cetera, et cetera. But like, yeah, Minotaur's horn got stuck into a tree. Percy used that to kill the Minotaur, got into camp, and that's kind of like where his lore starts. We move on to episode two. Percy wakes up in the infirmary days after the camp. He gets the lowdown on what that place is, what's going to be happening, etc.,
etc. I like this look much more. Much
Oh,
more than the movie.
yeah, this in the movie wasn't like Luke wasn't really used that much. Like it's, so that's the other thing too. It's like this is very YA because of course the person nicest to you is your quote unquote, like you have to look out for him, he's gonna betray you at some point, right? Like even me knowing nothing about the series and the books, not having watched anything, it's like, oh man, it's him. It's a little too convenient on how nice Luke was. But like Luke was able to give the lowdown of not only the camp, but generally what's happening. They are demigods. This is a place where they train because what happens is like, demigods are illegal. And they're the only ones that can go beyond the rules of the gods, so they can be used
Well, they're
as
not illegal.
tools.
It's just illegal for the big three.
Yeah,
The
the
big
big
three
three,
are
yeah.
not
For
supposed
forbiddens.
to have
Okay,
demigods
so that's
over
so.
there.
My other question here is, when you get to the camp, everybody's of the same age, around about. So do they age?
They do. They're not supposed to. Well, they're not the same age. Luke is older. Clarice is
Yeah, but
older.
like
So there's.
it looks like Luke, Annabeth, and Percy are kind of like batchmates. So did
Look,
did
look, 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 look. So,
Athena?
Luke is a little older. Athena, I think, is older as well. And then, yeah, Annabeth is younger. Grover
Yeah,
is
but they're
24,
not
Adaba.
like hundreds of years older than each other, right?
No. I
No.
think they
They
age.
age
I think they
normally.
age normally. I think.
Aged normally.
Okay, so all right, that's the other thing. So it's like, oh, convenient that you're only within, let's say, 5 to 10 years of each other.
Yeah.
So essentially,
No, well,
Athena,
it's more
her.
like school where. It gets dangerous at a certain age, so that's when they send you. So that's why they're all around, like a batch worth
Okay.
of age.
Yeah.
And then are there older batches? And then they would. It's just
They
like, for me, it's
no,
just
they
like convenient that it's
probably
older batch.
move on. They're strong and they can take care of themselves.
Got
Yeah.
it.
So
Okay.
like
I
they
mean, plus
graduate.
it feels like it's not a full term school. So it's just like, summer school, whatever. It's not really because now that they know who they are, they could handle regular school or muggle school or something like that. Plus also there's that trope of sorting, right? Like, oh yeah, this house is if you've been claimed by this god or da 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 da. So there's always that trope, like the sorting or the grouping, right? You see it in all YAs, right? What's that? That's not me.
Oh, that
Yeah,
was
but
me,
yeah,
sorry.
so.
And so this is the episode where, like, all right, this is the introduction to camp. There is, apart from introducing Jason Matsuka's pretending to be Percy's dad to trick him to get alcohol. Another, like, again,
Dionysus,
very, very,
yeah.
very, very, very early on, you kind of see like Dionysus is kind of like cursed to not be able to partake in any pleasures, so he needs Percy to get wine for him. Right, so and that's just like the and it's a nice foreshadowing of a lot of things, but here's the thing: I think this would have been better if I understood who Dionysus was, but I don't.
Yeah, I think
I
if I remember correctly, he's the god of wine or some
wine, yeah.
pleasure or whatever. Yeah.
So I don't know. That's why
Yep, god of wine, vegetation, pleasure, festivity, madness, and wild frenzy. So.
And so this is where we kind of like push where Percy wants to talk to his dad about his mom, etc., etc. There's a few more things that had happened in between, but there's a capture the flag game where we kind of get introduced to Annabeth a little bit more, the person stalking Percy. She's stalking Percy because one of her oracle announcements, or one of her, what do you call that? What's a thing that a quests, or one of the things that pertain to her future, is like she will go on a particular quest that they can only do something like that. Like she needs to find a person that will be given that question set. So the idea of him is like she keeps on waiting on that special person for that special quest. So every new person she kind of stalks and hounds and Percy's the new one. In the Capture the Flag, we kind of see few more tricks or powers that Percy has in terms of reflexes and some, because we still don't know up until this point who Percy's dad is. So nobody knows what activates or to the extent of his power, but during this, the water healed Percy real quick after being slashed a bunch of times by Clarice. Yeah,
well, it started when he was bullied in the bathroom, and Annabeth saw that the water reacted to him. That's why she kind of was already thinking. Pushed. So when she pushed him in the water, that's when he already had an idea who'd it be.
And yeah, that's where we kind of he is all for all intents and purposes, him and his team wins Capture the Flag. He kind of gets the lowdown about what is happening because he's the son of Poseidon. There's going to be a war, not only because there's a son, but also the Master Bolt was stolen. So Chiron and Dionysus kind of gives Percy the task of finding the master or at least preparing for this war. And then Grover also knew that Sally Jackson wasn't dead, because if you get crushed by a Minotaur, you get squished, you don't kind of disappear into nothingness. So that's kind of one clue that had happened. And then you realize that Sally Jackson was abducted by Hades to the underworld to trick Percy to find the Master Bolt, give him the Master Bolt, or go to Hades and do whatever his bidding is. So despite Chiron and Dionysus' reluctance, they go on this quest to at least find a way to Hades and talk to him about stuff, one, that he doesn't have the Master Bolt, Percy doesn't have the Master Bolt, and two, maybe because he doesn't have the Master Bolt, he can let his mom go. So that's kind of the main quest that they're happening. There's a little bit about the Oracle in this episode on somebody going to be betraying him, but also he's not going to succeed in his quest. Kind of cool. I always love those. Wow, very, very encouraging. So they start their trek, episode 3. They bump into, after receiving a prophecy from the Oracle of Delphi. The good thing about the prophecy is it kind of alludes to the Master Bolt being with Hades. That's the kind of the thing, which, in turn, it's not. But so they need to figure out a way to get from New York /Jersey to LA. So this is coast-to-coast trip. Love all the facts that you don't fly because the air is Zeus's domain.
Zeus's, yep.
So they need to be on the ground. It's also nice that the underworld is underneath LA, and then Olympus is in New York. Kind of all right, there's good representation of real
places,
cities and towns. Before they leave, they get some stuff. Luke gives Percy wing shoes, which is cool. They can fly, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. But on their way, they have a lot of adventures. Even in the bus, one of what do you call those things?
Furies.
One of the Furies found them on the bus, so they had to leave the bus. They have to kind of walk through Jersey a little bit, and then they stumble upon Medusa's home. We get a little bit of background about Grover's family finding
before Pan.
Pan, who is the god of nature, right, or something like that. So, and then they see Ferdinand on that route, stoned by Medusa. I really love this episode. Medusa provides a lot of context about
family,
about family, but also how books kind of put a, not to spin, but a perspective in a way of like gods and monsters, like who are gods, who are monsters, why are there monsters? Like, in essence, this is like an episode saying like Medusa didn't do anything wrong. It was who's the guy?
Was it not Poseidon, but another god was like in
Yeah,
love with her or
the
something like that?
oh yeah, another, so Athena's boy
Lover or
toy
something, yeah, boy toy,
lover
yeah.
was the one that fell in love with Medusa, and then Athena just couldn't handle it, and then Athena put the curse on Medusa. So it's kind of like, who's the monster here, right? It's the idea. But either way, they Medusa, like any other fury or any other person that's going through their quest, giving deals with any of the main three characters to be able to finish their quest. You know, Medusa said like, "Hey, to Percy, if I'll help you get to Hades, even get you the bolt, but like, leave me these your friends." They didn't. They fight. Medusa's head gets chopped off. Medusa's head gets used to Stone of Fury, and then the
I
quote.
love that scene where they come clean about the prophecy, and then Annabeth saying, "Yeah, the Fury asked for a deal, and what did you do?" I fought. I killed her. And then same thing with Percy. Like Medusa offered me a deal for the two of you. What'd you do? I cut off her head. And that was so cool. Like putting the invisibility hat on Medusa. Oh, that was so. That was so
That
cool.
hat is, you know, that hat is OP.
It is.
Right? So, and then I can't believe that, you know, there's a
And they
small
kept
part here
using
that
it,
they wanted.
unlike Aquaman.
But also I couldn't get I couldn't believe that they were going to suggest keeping the hat on Medusa forever so that no one else. But they eventually ended up
Sending it to Olympus.
sending it. So a lot of things. So they could use the Hermes delivery, or the Hermes delivery system to get to the gods. They wanted to say like, "Hey, here's our gift, head of Medusa, et cetera, not going to cause you any problems anymore." But also, this is an impetuous show of power in terms of Annabeth, rather than for so Percy, it's good. Annabeth, bad, because like her mom's not going to kind of, it's going to show up her mom that like you're like Annabeth was able to subdue and kill something that they can't. All right, they move towards they continue by train again. Another this is nice. So for people who understand like American geography, the way that they're traveling, New York to Jersey, Jersey to St. Louis, St. Louis. So it's like it's a nice little, you know, traversal of like different environments. But in the train, they encounter Echidna and training a young chimera that poisons Percy. And then they leave the train around St. Louis. They seek refuge in the St. Louis Arch. Which is also a tribute to Athena and other cool stuff that is like,
Did
oh, that's cool.
after he escape, well, not escape, he fell from the arch. The Chimera disappeared now, right? Didn't come back into play. I
It
don't
yes, it
remember.
did not come back to play
Okay.
because they were
The
able
next
to subdue Echidna
yeah.
in away from Echidna. But that's what happened. Like they fought in the arch. Percy
Which
again sacrificed
bitch
himself.
move by Athena's mom. By Athena, Annabeth's mom. Letting them in just because of that. That was a bitch move.
Well, again, we—I don't know. Did we ever see Athena in the
No, we
series?
didn't. No.
So maybe they need to cast somebody. I would venture a guess that will be Alessandro Daddario for next season.
Ooh, I wouldn't
That would
mind
be
that.
nice, right?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
So they fought in the archway. It's, again, like what Chewbacca just mentioned, you're not supposed to get into those sanctuary places if you're monsters. You should be like gods and demigods, but because Athena gave them a pass to kill Annabeth and the crew, that's what happened. But Percy sacrificed himself to fight Echidna and Chimera. He fell through a hole in the arch. Power of Poseidon or Poseidon's minions was able to draw him falling from the arch and drop her to the Mississippi River. And that's where Percy encounters Nereid. All right. So Nereid is kind of like one of Poseidon's minions, followers, something like that, assistants. Teaches them how to breathe underwater and teach them about how to get to and back, or at least get out of the underworld with the pearls that they have. They were given the pearls that will transport them to anywhere where they think of. All right. He comes out of the water, finds again. These are the things where it's like St. Louis is a very, very big place. So as soon as you get out of the water, you bump into Annabeth and Grover. No cell phones, no text. Like, yo, I'm at the north
Oh, I mean, he
side of the
probably
park now.
went straight line from the arch to the water.
Yeah, but it's a big river.
Well,
Either way,
we gotta
it's a
get
cinema sin.
the story moving.
Yeah. And then, right, they start again making their way to Vegas. So they need to meet with Poseidon for help at Santa Monica. So that's in LA. And then they need to
But they can't ride a bus or ride a train because they're
wanted by the
wanted
police.
people.
They're wanted now. Like there's like a little bitch move that Percy's stepfather did about car being stolen and mom being kidnapped, et cetera, et cetera. But they knew somebody that could kind of like help them in or smuggle them in. So they needed to connect with Ares
I love
in
Aries.
Las Vegas.
You see,
I love
it reminds me of
Ares.
Edge. It reminds me
It
of
is
Edge.
Edge. It is
It is
Edge.
Edge?
It
Oh,
is
okay.
Edge.
There you go.
Adam
There you go.
Copeland. Yeah,
There you
he's
go.
fucking great.
Yeah, his
I love
character
him.
was
He's a
great.
really good
They didn't
actor.
meet in Vegas, but he sent them to Vegas.
He sent them to Vegas. It was like en
After
route from
doing
St. Louis.
the amusement park.
Yeah. So the idea was like they connected with Ares, who offers a deal where if, as usual, because gods can't do their own shit or their rules against them, they need to find demigods or champions to do it for them. If Percy and Annabeth can recover Ares's shield, he'll find a way for them to get to Vegas, who is somebody, because Vegas is a place where he knows somebody that can get them to the underworld. Right? So that's the deal. They went to this Winter Wonder,
Amusement park.
This like fun land, closed circus, whatever. There's a lot of tests, a lot of puzzles, which is kind of great because this is a combination of where Percy and Annabeth are really, really good at. Percy again sacrificed himself in terms of like the trap of the game was like one needs to sacrifice themselves so that they can get the shield. So encased in gold and whatnot to become a statue of Hephaestus. Annabeth was able to talk Hephaestus down in terms of helping them or not
Not
keeping
becoming.
Percy in the trap or you know encased in a gold statue. And
And
then
who's this
they
actor? I know this actor. Festus.
yeah he's there's always semi-recognizable people.
Forgot who this guy is. I'll check. Go ahead. I'll check.
So that's the thing. So they give the shield back to Ares. Ares puts them in the back of a zoo truck en route to Vegas in a place where they can connect with Hermes, and Hermes the only person that can come in and out of the underworld regularly or undetected. So during the trip to during the trip in the back of the truck and across the series, we kind of see that Percy is getting visions whenever he's asleep. So somebody's talking to him in his dreams. And then combining with what Ares says, so not yet, but so that's kind of like the way where you know certain ideas were swayed for
Hephaestus was in
people or
psych.
influence.
There we go. It's psych.
Hephaestus was in psych. Yeah. Anyways.
Once they get to Las Vegas. They got into, of course, like, where can you find like a sanctuary or a place where gods would stick in Vegas? And it's like probably the biggest place with like an offering. So, in the Lotus Casino, that's where they were going to be hanging out and figuring out hell for armies, right? Next episode, this is like we're gonna breeze through being in the Lotus
Casino.
Casino. There's a story there where if you eat something, you kind of like the reason why a lot of quests end there or lose their way there is because they forget, they lose time, which is very Vegas-like, very, very like okay, it's on brand for the town itself. Grover was the first one that fell into the spell. Like he found a fellow satyr. Initially, so like, oh, I found Ferdinand, et cetera, et cetera. So, and then the satyr knew who Pan, where Pan was, but they got stuck because of the lotus fruit orbs, like general presence of the lotus fruit there. So Grover kind of got roped in and then lost time. But eventually Percy and Annabeth was able to find Hermes, talk to Hermes about getting help, Hermes shooting them down, but also giving them kind of like a hint like, yo, you've lost a lot of time here because time moves differently in the Lotus Casino, which like in any casino, that's super true. And then once they were able to shake off and figure out that like they lost so many days in a span of like a couple of hours in the Lotus Foot Casino, they went and found Grover, which is great. And then they were kind of like a little bit of hint where like, oh, when with your friends, you don't lose yourself too much. Grover was alone, so he was spellbound a lot easier.
Acceptable.
Yeah. And so there's a cool scene here where Annabeth stole Hermes's keys to his car, knowing that Hermes was not going to help them. And then once they got to Hermes's car, which is a yellow cab, which is super cool, there was a note there that saying like, some instructions on how to do it. So Hermes knew that they were going to steal, or he knew that he was stolen, but also, yeah, again, rules and rules. Like Hermes can't help them, so technically he didn't, right? So like keys were stolen. Fun little quip on how the car, they're kids. Like they're highlighting that they're 12 years old here. So yeah, that they like bumping everything in, et cetera, et cetera. So in the end, the car brought them to Santa Monica Beach. In the beach, Percy learns that the water, because of what had happened in Lotus Casino, Poseidon didn't come to the beach in Santa Monica. They were too late. The
They had to
deadline has
leave.
passed. The past, and they have to prepare for war. And this is where like Percy still vows to continue on his quest just because he has to. Like he has to stop the war at some point because everybody was being tricked by everybody. Episode 7, they kind of find the truth. Like that's kind of like the title of the story. There's a bit of a flashback in terms of Percy struggling with school because of seeing mythical creatures. Again, coming back to all of the struggles of being a demigod. So that's an allusion to be having like special needs or special disabilities in terms of being in the real world. So lots of flashback. In terms of all their adventures up to that point. And then they got into the underworld. They encountered Charon, that summons
The
super cool dog named the
Cerberus,
Cerberus.
super cute dog.
Yeah, and so here's the weird thing. So I remember Annabeth was able to tame the dog, allowing Grover and Percy to escape. And then Grover realizes that was that in the book? He just like fucking lost his pearl.
I think I remember in the movie he had to stay. He had to stay. I forgot what happened in the book. It's mixing up now. But in the movie, he had to. They also, or did they only have three? I don't know, something like that. He probably lost it.
Yeah, yeah. But in, weirdly, when they got the fields of Asphodel, where you know people become trees forever, he stuck there forever. Annabeth, because she has a lot of regret, was the one that got stuck. So that's kind of like that's one of the circles of hell of Dante, I figured. So, so she gave her pearl to Grover so that they can go to continue through their quest. So, weirdly, the flying shoes started to get pulled to. This is where, like, I did not realize this. Detail until the end, but Grover was wearing the shoes that Luke gifted, and these shoes just started pulling Grover down to Tartarus. So I don't know what that was. All right, and then in the end, they were able to kind of like take the shoes off, escape being pulled down to Tartarus. They get to Hades. They talk to Hades, saying like, "Yo, dude, ain't got no bolt. Give me my mom back." Hades was like, "No, that's not how it works."
But they realized that, the bolt.
And then that's when they realized that when they opened their backpack, the fucking bolt was there. So this is where kind of like all of the things kind of like started being to place that somebody from camp was the one who stole it, put it in their bag to deliver the bolt to Hades, knowing that.
No, Ares had the bolt and gave it. Put it in the bag when he gave them some supplies.
Supplies to get to there.
Yeah, side note, that bolt looked better than the one in Love and Thunder.
Oh, yeah.
And it looked better than the one in the movie. The movie was just like a...
Just like a CGI...
Like a triangle, yeah. And like a lightning. Yeah.
Lightning, yeah.
And it's kind of... This is where it gets convoluted because... There's two tracks that were happening. So I'm going to spoil a little bit because the explanation happens in the next episode. But so Ares stole the bolt, or somebody from camp stole the bolt, whatever, working with Ares, gave it to them to be delivered to Hades, but not necessarily to Hades, but they were thinking that, oh, hopefully Percy was wearing the shoes. He'll get dragged into Tartarus. Mm-hmm. And then somebody from who's in Tartarus? Gets the bolt and starts the war. That's kind of like so many things happening at the same time. It wasn't particularly clear, but in the end, somebody was framing them to start a war. Cool.
And the end game was to get the master bolt to Kronos.
So yeah.
What they did was they stole the bolt, they stole the helm, and then they set Percy up with the bolt so that he would have to go to the helm, and then that's when Tartarus should have gotten the master bolt with Percy.
Yep. But also the idea that...
the war would also weaken them as well. It's like
the war would weaken them plan, and then Kronos can take it. But it's just a general idea that if Hades wanted the bolt... Because like, he was like hesitant about the bolt to start. It's like, I don't want the bolt. I want my helm. Yeah. Right? So, and then... Only in the end, he's just like, oh, the bolt is here. Let me get the gold. So, but he wasn't really in it for the bolt because he knew what will happen if he got the bolt, right? So, Percy said, like, fine, I'll get your helm. And then when you get your helm, we release my mom, et cetera, et cetera. He knew who got the helm. It's Ares. And then we go to the last episode where Percy... challenges, so they get out of the underworld, now understanding that at least at this point people still think that it was Clarice that was the one that stole the bolt and put this back, right? At this point. And Ares meets them at Santa Monica Pier, right out of Hades's underworld. Smartly, there's a flashback here where Luke was giving not only Percy sword practice, but just like generally all of the things that he needs to think about demigods. Like, you know, very powerful line in terms of two favorite lines. One was Luke was saying, or at least Percy was saying, Gods make demigods so that gods have rules, so they can't break the rules. So they make demigods to break the rules. And then the question there, the important statement there is like, so gods should be equally as afraid of demigods as demigods are afraid of gods, because of, demigods can break the rules, which was correct. But Luke added the other line. It was very, very important, saying that, hey, Annabeth scared of spiders, right? So, spiders are, but Annabeth is way bigger than a spider. So the lesson there is the worst thing that you could be is small and scary, because small and scary, you can get squished. So that's kind of like, that's the good, like a little guardrail in terms of like thinking too much ahead, like, yo, I'm the guy, I can do a lot of stuff. But you need to be wary that, these gods are big and they can crush you. So Percy kind of tricks, because like he remembers that Ares is a dum-dum. So kind of tricks Ares, like, hey, we're gonna fight single combat, but the rules is first who
First
draw blood
blood.
wins. So even if the idea is like, one, Ares has lived thousands of years, she is immortal, cannot die, who's fought countless of wars, etc., etc. But at least you give yourself a chance with one blow. So yeah, eventually Percy was able to kind of like sneak in a quick, use the power of the water to kind of like sneak in like a scratch on Ares and draw blood. He wins, he gets the helm. Helm goes back to the under well Helm goes back to the underworld, or somebody gets the helm there, and then continues on his quest, even if even with the hesitance of Annabeth and Grover, to because like Percy still needs to bring the bolt to Zeus to end the war, even if the deadline is done. So a cute little thing that I know it's going to be big in the next series, where Annabeth gives him the pearls, like the necklace, the beads, and like his neck her necklace to Percy. And I it's funny thing, I think in the book or somewhere, like Grover gives him snacks. So that's about it for his quest to the Olympus. So once goes to Olympus, top the Empire State. So that's the other thing too. I forget how he got to New York that quick, because I know he didn't fly. So did he have another pearl to get to whatever? But get to top of the Empire State, back in New York, gives the bolt to Zeus.
Nice scene by Landshredik. I miss him already.
Yeah,
God
very
damn.
like gravitas is great. And then the idea was like, all right, Zeus was allowing Percy to leave unscathed. That was the prize for giving back the bolt, but the war is still coming, because that's not how it works. And I do like the idea here. He figured out that it was Kronos behind influencing people to steal the bolt to weaken each other so that Kronos can win. And then my favorite part here is like, Zeus knew, like, of course, that's what we do. Like, we somebody gets beaten, they amass power again, they go to war, somebody gets beaten, and then they amass power again. That's kind of like the cycle that should happen. And then they realize, like, oh, it happens all the time, and it's the people on Earth that
That's
are the ones that
fucked.
are suffering,
Yeah.
right? Like World War II was the last time that there was like a war between the gods. So
I also love
that
that
was the un
Poseidon just straight out surrendered.
no that was
Like,
the that's
shit.
the other thing too. So this is part where having realized that Zeus was not going to end the war, and then Percy was still being impetuous, Zeus was going to strike Percy down, and then Poseidon steps in, stops Zeus, surrenders, which is essentially stops the war, which is basically just an L, from
Yeah,
what I understand. It's like, oh,
they're just because after that it was like it wasn't even important, you know, because when they spoke Greek, that's when they were talking about the big boy stuff, you know, like the war was just like a show. And then
yeah,
when
but
they
that's the, here's the other thing too. Funny thing, when reading the reviews of this, or listening to the reviews of this, is like, so you mean to say everything could have been done via email? Because Poseidon could have just, if he knew what had happened, he could have just like done the surrender thing, right? Initially, this would have been, you know,
easy. Well, maybe he was also showing, he wanted to show his son that he was going to do it for him.
Yeah, but also I think it's more of going back to glory. It's very important for even within the gods, the glory. So technically, that's why, you know, Zeus, Lance Reddick, emphasized the fact like, hey, I'll call in the others. Like, who knows that Kronos is awakening? Like, maybe just, you know, basically everyone. So it's like, let's discuss the terms of your surrender, and then we'll talk for the family business. So it's like, oh, so it's just like you put one loss on my ledger and that's it. That you know, that would have been fine. It's like, put fucking a million losses in my ledger if that means that my son and a billion people don't die. But that's the fun part of this. It's like all of these glory things is very, very important. So they were able to stop the war. And then we go back to camp, and then we go back to them trying to catch, because it's still at this point, they're still thinking that it was Clarice who stole the bolt and put it in, worked with Ares, and Ares was able to get into Percy in the crew's backpack. But the more that Percy thought about the prophecy, the thing that he realized, the one thing that hasn't happened was the friend betraying him. And then he realized it was Luke who was working with Ares.
And Kronos.
To get, and this was because
daddy issues
also, but also one of the things that was like an important line when fighting Ares mentioned like gods don't dream, right? So Kronos couldn't have entered his psyche, but nobody prompted him if he fought it through a dream. So one, he was lying. It you know, Kronos did come into his dream. That's why also Percy asked if Poseidon dreamt about Percy's mom.
He's a moron.
Yeah, he's a moron. So that's the other thing. And then you realize too, like, yeah, you know, Luke was the one that was gonna turn in the nicest way, though. He really wanted to recruit Percy.
He's one of the big three.
Oh?
That's why he's one of the big three. That's why Luke wanted Percy, because he's the son of, he's a big three.
He's a forbidden child.
Yeah. I know.
Who else is the son of a big three?
Talia, the tree.
Oh.
She became the tree.
And then.
Minor spoiler. Did you watch the second movie already?
Not yet. It's on the.
Oh, okay. Spoilers, like in the second movie, somebody's gonna poison the tree, and the tree is the one that's actually granting the shield for Camp Half-Blood. So they poison the tree. And then the only way to cure the poison is to find the golden fleece. So that's the adventure of the second book. But what they fuck up is the golden fleece cures everything. So when they put the fleece on the tree, it not only removed the poison, it removed the tree curse. So Talia gets back, is back.
Survived.
And then you're going to meet Nico in the future, hopefully, who's the son of Hades. So that's the next three, big three, in a sense. So each one of them fucked up. Each one of them promised not to have kids, and they all had kids. So I think in the book, that's one of the when Percy saves their ass, there's like he talks to them, it's like, and first of all, let's remove this forbidden shit. None of you follow it anyways. He goes to the guy like, so what's the point of it? So it's just like, anyways, yeah.
Yeah, but that's basically it. I mean, there's a nice little end note where, yeah, of course, Luke had a sword that can cut through dimensions. So
Backbiter?
He was able to escape.
I like the name.
Yeah, Backbiter. But also during the fight, Annabeth was using her hat, and heard everything. So
he's so sneaky.
Kind of figure out, like, we really figure out who the main culprit is, and then now they have to go on, you know, not to stay in camp, but everybody had to go on other different quests. But they'll be meeting in in a year in back in camp, where, you know, Percy just wanted to go back home and see if Hades returned his mom. That was the main thing. Grover got his flower pendant. Now he's a real satyr and a protector. Now he can start searching for Pan. And then I don't know what Annabeth's mission was, but I think she was going to speak with her. She was going to go with her dad to figure out Disneyland and shit like that. But they're going to meet back there. And kind of like the, not the mid credits, but the end cap of the season is more dreams again. It's like, you know, going back to Montauk, Percy goes into the house, the beach house. Always creepy when there's like a radio still on every time you come into a home, and then talking about there's still earthquakes, there's still this and that. So there were still things happening in the world that was, you know, at least supernatural. And then the mom came, but it's not actually the mom. It's basically Kronos giving a warning to Percy about what's going to happen. It's only the start. He's still gaining power. He's going to come back. And then he wakes up in a dream in New York. And then the good thing about this, like, it seems like this was days or weeks after the adventures has happened already. And then the mom was already there. We don't need this reunion. It was all back to business, where the mom was like, right, she has her notes. Let's log all your dreams or figures. That's what it's kind of like. His mom is his Alfred, like, you know, guiding and helping however which way he can on this adventure, where, you know, he's back into the city, back into his power, figuring out all these monsters and stuff that is coming out from, you know, Tartarus or stuff. But yeah, that is
the end credit scene though.
I missed that. About
it was just a step game. That somebody, Olympus returned Medusa's head to Percy, but it was in a package, and then the dad was trying to steal stuff. Open. The stepdad, and he opened it, and he became.
That's the other detail that wasn't in the series that was very, very explicit in the movie, that her mom, his mom, was staying with his stepdad, because the stench of his stepdad was masking Percy from them, from all of the monsters. So that was in the movie, not in the series. So now I'm just saying, like, you're such a cool mom, but you're staying with a dick. Why? After going from Poseidon to this dude?
Yeah.
So that was that thing. All right, that's it. Let's go with final thoughts and reactions. Arnie.
Like I said,
how do you rate this series?
I would say it's a solid 9. I mean, you know, well casted, well acted for the most part. Love the cameos, and yeah, and I mean, again, you have not really 1 hour each episode. It's like half an hour per episode, but you still had more time than the actual movie to let things cook. A lot of the concepts and loose ends, they were able to tie most of it. Of course, they have to keep some loose ends for the sequel or the season 2, hopefully. Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it's a solid 9. I enjoyed it. Even the music, the score was actually nice too.
It was very, I was going to say Avengers-like, the bassoon.
Yeah. Like, I was thinking maybe they hired Ludwig Göransson, or, you know, or some. But they really spent, it's not low budget. Because considering, like, you know, Disney, if it was like a Disney Channel show, they probably would have saved some of the budget. But this one, they spent money. So hopefully season 2, they get a bigger budget. But even then, like, even if they just work with what they had with season 1 and they have season 2, it's a decent show, and it's nice to have something outside of Marvel and Star Wars in Disney Plus. So yeah, that works.
Chubax?
I'll go with an 8. I love it. I was surprised by it. I wasn't expecting much, but just an 8 because of I've read so many books already, and this one is still tropey in a lot of ways. And
yeah,
But yeah, well casted, well acted, a lot better than the movie for me personally, but yeah, I'd give it an 8.
I'm giving it a 9, and I think exactly because what you mentioned, Chewbacca, like, because I have not read the books, and I wasn't already kind of like tainted with the YA, very tropey, very standard Harry Potter like adventure of kids, etc. I really appreciated how they elevated the layers of this series, like, you know, the education layer, the disability layer, the parental layer, but also your finding your purpose. And so there's a lot, and I was very, very impressed with everybody's acting here. And even, you know, even Annabeth being weak was still very, very, was still above average. Like, it's still good. It was like, it wasn't bad. Really enjoyed the restraint in terms of being able to judiciously use action and CGI. Like, you know, they didn't stretch the budget where, like, they could have added, I was told in the, or I heard over the reviews that there was supposed to be a boar that would be fighting Percy. It's a big bout fight in the first book, etc. But they chose to cut a giant swath of that because, like,
in the movies, you know, it was in the second book, but I don't remember. In the books, it's been so long since I've read the book, so I don't remember where that one really
goes. So I think it was supposed to be like right before or during the Ares fight, they would be fighting also a boar. But again, the idea of it is like there were big decisions and things that they needed to cut and move. And I think it did not only did it not deter or make the story weaker, it's actually cleared it up a little bit more. Right, you know, moving sets from, you know, West Coast to East Coast, making sure that everything made sense, not only in the story tonally, but also like logistically. So those are the things that you want in these particular series. And yeah, I think the 6 to 8 episode version of this was super great. Like, I mean, could they have cut an episode here or two? Maybe, but like, I was very entertained with the pace of the show, and I can't wait for season 2. I'm sure that they're going to start filming in the next year. So I want to know their plan here. I want to know, are they going to do one season per book? Are they going to combine a couple of books?
I don't think they can. They can combine them.
If they're going to do the 5 books, they need to shoot them all, because the kids will, because they will start growing, and that's the Stranger Things problem, right?
Exactly. So I'm sure, like, you know, we'll dude, the Alexander Daddario was not a high school kid in the movies. Well, come on.
Of course, she's not.
Yeah, so it's like the idea of it is like, I'm sure they can do movie magic, but it would be nice to kind of like, you know, get these like next few strung along already. I just want to figure out whether they're, because it would be nice if they'll. Oh, so one note is in the reason why this is a darker tone, like, compared to the books and to the movies, because the showrunner and the writer Rick Riordan was really, really intense. Like, hey, I wish I could have written this.
Yeah,
I wish I could have done it this way, to make it a little bit more timeless. So that's kind of like, that's good. So hopefully, maybe they'll do a 4-season version of the entire story. Maybe they'll cut a few storylines that are fillers or whatever, so that they can really plan out, hey, this is going to be a 4 and done.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We're not going to open up to the Roman thingy, right? We're just going to concentrate on this and see what happens. I just want to figure that out, because this seems like a series that can go on forever too, right? So, but it's super nice. I really, really enjoy it. So yeah, that is it for our review of season 1 of Percy Jackson and the Olympians. Again, please subscribe to our channel, youtube.com/plus63hp. We are at plus63hp on all of the socials. We're on twitch.tv/plus63hp as well, whenever we record weekend mornings Eastern, weekend evenings Philippine time. Join us. We're on, and we'll love to interact with you guys. Your assignment for next week, I've already seen one episode and I am already fucking hooked. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, out on Prime now.
Childish Gambino, right?
Childish Gambino, Maya Erskine, which is a blue-eyed samurai.
Oh,
it's weird. They're not supposed to be that sexy, but they are. I really enjoy the tone. I really enjoy everything that I'm seeing right now. One of the very few full season drops on Prime. So
oh wow,
full all season. 8 episodes is out. So I am surprised because I thought like with the success of Reacher, they would have like dropped it week on week, but no, they drop all 8 episodes. We're gonna watch it and we're gonna review it with you guys next week. So goodbyes, Arnie.
Well, goodbyes, and yeah, I mean, nothing more to say except goodbye.
Shoebox.
See you next week. Bye.
On behalf of all of them, see you next week. Goodbye.